Would you turn with me, please, to John chapter 17? John chapter 17. If I were to ask you this evening, what is the greatest example of love? Probably most of us would say God's love for us would be the greatest example of love. And I would not necessarily argue with you on that point, but I would expand on that point. This evening, in our time together, I would like to look at what Christ says about love in these five chapters, John chapters 13 through 17. You know, the epistle of 1 John uses the word love about 46 times. In fact, the First Epistle of John, it's only five chapters long, but it has the word love in it more than any other book in the Bible. In John chapters 13 through 17, it's also five chapters long, uses the word love about 33 times. Second only to First John as far as in a concentrated passage of Scripture where the word love is used. So love is a very important subject here in these chapters. As I said earlier, chapters that take place the night before our Lord's crucifixion. What was on his mind the night before he was crucified? This subject of love. So we want to look at that this evening. And what we see as he speaks of love, he speaks of the Father's love for him, Father's love for the Son. He speaks of the Son's love for the Father. He speaks of the Father and Son's love for us. And then he speaks of our love for one another. And what's so amazing as he speaks of this love is that those four areas of love are all interconnected. The love the Father has for the Son, the love the Son has for the Father, the love that the Father and Son have for us, and then the love we have for one another, they're all connected, can't be separated. And we want to look at that this evening. Let's bow in prayer. Guide us, Father, tonight as we look at these passages. Help us to have a greater understanding of your love for the Son and the Son's love for you, your love for us, and then that way we could have a greater understanding of our love for one another. And I pray that as we would leave this place this evening, that we would recognize that your love for us indeed is tied in with our love for one another. And we need to grow in that love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're all familiar with the baptism of Christ in Matthew chapter 3, where it says, "The heavens were opened, and a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" This is my beloved Son. The Father speaks from the heavens being opened and declares his love for his Son. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The literal translation may be a little bit choppy, but the literal translation of that is, "This is my Son, the loved one." There's a real emphasis on that love. "This is my Son, the loved one." Now, why did the Father add that? You know, he was identifying this one as his Son. Why didn't he simply say, "This is my Son"? Why did he add the loved one? He certainly was emphasizing it. It is in a very emphatic position in the original language here. "This is my Son, the loved one." He was not simply identifying this one as his Son. He was also declaring his love for the Son. The Father expresses that love very openly, very publicly, very emphatically. Sometime later on the Mount of Transfiguration, we know that likewise, it says, "The heavens were opened," and the same words, "This is my Son, the loved one. Hear him." Again, why didn't the Father simply say, "This is my Son, hear him"? He adds those words, "the loved one," declaring his love for the Son. Here in John chapter 17, that high priestly prayer of Christ, in verse 24, "Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." Christ expresses his desire that we be with him where he is and behold his glory. Why does he want us to behold his glory? It's a glory that the Father had given him, and he wants us to see the glory that the Father had given him. Why? So that we might know how much the Father loved him. One of the reasons, certainly not the only reason, one of the reasons why Christ wants us in heaven with him to behold his glory is so that we might have a greater understanding of the Father's love for the Son. He wants to put on display how much the Father loved him, and he wants us to see it. He wants us to see the glory. That gift that the Father gave to the Son, he wants us to see that gift so that we might recognize how much the Father loved him. Do we truly understand the intensity of the love that the Father has for the Son? The Son wants us to understand that love. He wants us to see that intense love the Father has for him. Now, it's not a one-way street. The Son loves the Father also. However, the love that the Son has for the Father is not expressed as often in Scripture as the love the Father has for the Son. Doesn't mean it's any less. It's just that the love that the Son has for the Father is not expressed as often. However, the timing of when Christ expresses his love for the Father is very significant. I ask you to turn to chapter 14 of John. Chapter 14, verse 30. We read it earlier. "Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father." Notice it. He wants the world to know that he loves the Father. "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from here." Now the timing of this, notice he says, "Arise, let us go from here." Where do they go? Well, from this point, they make their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, the place of betrayal, the place of arrest, the place that leads to the cross, the crucifixion, the place that leads to the time of torture and horror. And it's at that time, just prior to the crucifixion, that he declares his love for the Father. And he says, "I want the world to know how much I love the Father." And how does he prove his love for the Father? By obeying his commandment. "That the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." He proves his love for the Father by obeying the Father. And he obeys the Father to prove his love to the world. Usually, and rightly so, when we think of Christ going to the cross and dying for us, we automatically think of how much he loves us. And again, rightly so. 1 John declares that God manifests his love for us and that he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So certainly the cross does manifest God's love for us. But here the emphasis that Christ makes is that the cross emphasizes his love for the Father. He was willing to go to the cross so that we might know how much he loved the Father. Very interesting passage. And it is certainly a great example to the disciples of what he had said just a few moments earlier in verse 15 of chapter 14. What does he say? If you love me, keep my commandment. If you love me, keep my commandment. So now he gives a great example. The Father has commanded me to go to the cross, and to prove my love for him, I'm going to obey him. And in essence, that's the example for us. If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments, even as I love the Father and keep his commandments. He displays his love for the Father by going to the cross. Why was it important for Christ to show us how much he loved the Father? Why was that important? Look at chapter 15. Certainly, if we think of the ideal example of love, we could certainly look at the love the Father has for the Son. We look at the love the Son has for the Father. You know, and those examples are great, because in the world in which we live, overwhelmingly the love that's displayed is a very twisted and perverted love, and people are very confused about what love is. We need to look to the perfect example, and that is the Father's love for the Son and the Son's love for the Father. But the more we understand that love between the Father and the Son, the more we begin to understand how much they love us. Notice what he says in John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Think about that. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. The way in which the Father loves the Son loves us. Is that why Christ wanted us to know how much the Father loved him, so that we would understand how much he loved us? Notice chapter 17, again in that high priestly prayer in verse 23. I in them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me as you have, and that I love them as you have loved me. Compare those two verses, chapter 15, verse 9. The Father loves us, and the Son loves us in the same way. In chapter 17, the Father loves the Son, and the Father loves us in the same way. So as the Father loves the Son loves us, and as the Father loves the Father loves us. When we begin to understand how much the Father loves the Son and how much the Son loves the Father, then we can begin to understand how much they love us. Both the Father and the Son love us as they love one another. Does that amaze you? Wouldn't you think that the love between the Father and the Son would be so intense and so sacred and so pure and so perfect that we could not intrude upon that love? And yet Christ says that they love us, the Father and Son both love us with the same love they have for one another. That just blows my mind. I would think that love between the Father and the Son, the Trinity, would be so sacred and so pure that no one could intrude into that. And yet they have loved us with that same love they have for one another. It's an overwhelming thought, one that we need to allow to sink into our hearts, to understand how much we are loved by the Father and Son. But then his talk of love here in these chapters, they don't stop there. speaks of the Father's love for the Son's love for the Father and Son's love for us, but he also emphasizes our love for one another. Look at chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Christ says, I love the Father. The Father loves me, and I love you with the same love that we have for one another, and now you need to have that same love for one another. As I have loved you, again, remember what he has already said. He said, I love you in the way I love the Father, and the way the Father loves me, I love you. And now he says, as I've loved you, you need to love one another. Look at chapter 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Notice that emphasis again. As I've loved you, you need to love one another. And I love you with the same love I have for the Father and the same love the Father has for me. You need to love one another. In chapter 13 there he says, a new commandment I give unto you. In what sense is that a new commandment? That you love one another. You mean the Old Testament saints weren't commanded to love one another? Well, they certainly were. They were commanded to love one another. Well, how, in what sense is this a new commandment? Christ says, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Well, that commandment is as old as man. We were commanded to love one another in the Old Testament. I believe what he's saying here, this new commandment, it now has a new standard, a new example. As I have loved you. That's what makes it new. It's the example that Christ had given to them. That's what makes this commandment new. Love one another as I've loved you. You read that and say, boy, in the same way the Father loves the Son, in the same way the Son loves the Father, in the same way the Father and Son love me, I'm supposed to love others? Even that obnoxious coworker? Even that arrogant boss? Even that fellow church member that just rubs me the wrong way? I'm supposed to love them in the same way that the Father loves the Son? In the same way that the Son loves me? I'm supposed to love him in that same way. And I look at that and we read that and just say, that's impossible. There's no way that me, a sinner such as I am, can love one another and love others in the same way that the Father loves me? In the same way the Father loves the Son? That would take a miracle. And that's absolutely true. It would take a miracle. But guess what? If you're saved tonight, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, the miracle has taken place. Notice chapter 17 and verse 26. And I have declared unto them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Christ says, the love that you have for me, Father, is in them, and I am in them. The miracle has taken place when we've trusted Christ as our Savior. The love that the Father has for the Son has been placed in us. Christ is in us. And with that love in us and with Christ in us, yes, the miracle has taken place, and we can love one another. As the Father loves the Son, as the Son loves the Father, and as the Father and Son love us. We have to submit ourselves to it. We have to surrender ourselves to it. We have to humble ourselves before God for that love to truly be manifested to one another. But the miracle has taken place. That love is in us. Christ is in us, and we need to submit ourselves to Christ who is in us and allow him to love through us. When we're not loving one another as the Father loves the Son and as the Son loves the Father and as they love us, when we're not loving one another in that way, it's because we're not allowing that love that's in us to come through. We are shielding it from coming out with our own sin, with our own pride, with our own arrogance, with our own selfishness. It's in there. If you're born again, it's in there. The miracle's taken place. But we need to surrender ourselves in humility to allow Christ to love through us. As the Father loves the Son, as the Son loves the Father, as the Father and Son love us, so shall we love one another. I conclude by reading from 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. If we love one another, his love is perfected in us. His love for us reaches its goal. That's what the word perfected means there. His love for us reaches its goal when we love one another. Has his love reached its goal in your life? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love for us. It truly is overwhelming that you would love me as you love the Son. That the Son would love me as he loves the Father. Help us to love one another as we understand your love for the Son and the Son's love for you and your love for us. Help us, Father, to allow that love that you've put in us to come through to others, and that we would truly manifest that love in our everyday workplace, wherever you would take us, before whomever you would bring into our pathway, may that love come through. Thank you for the miracle that you have put that love in us, and that Christ is in us, and that we have the indwelling Spirit whose fruit is love. Your word is sufficient. We can indeed love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Again, Father, we do go out into a world where there are many people who are unlovable in so many ways. But because of your miracle, we can love them. Thank you, Father, for what you've done in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.